Our last topic for this month, and I really couldn't get everything in that I wanted to because we are living in the last days. We truly are living in the last days, and there's so much I could say. We could run this topic for maybe 2 months, and we wouldn't really get to the end of it. We covered the first week, Revelation and the man of sin and the rapture, and we're going to try and combine the tribulation. That we will probably not be able to finish this, but I'll have to do it on a Tuesday night. And so we're going to talk about this period in history that the Bible speaks of called the tribulation. The Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That should scare us. Because if you think of all the things that have happened in history, and the terrible things over the centuries that have happened, the genocides, the murder, the wickedness, just the terrible things that have happened, even in this, well, not this century, I'm past into this century, but last century, and even some things that have happened in this century, ISIS, beheading people, enslaving people. Can you think of how, in certain parts of the world, how terrible and terrifying it must be to live and wake up in those parts of the world knowing that your life may go that very day? You may be tortured, you may be beheaded, you may be killed. The Bible says that that is nothing compared to the time that is coming upon the earth. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 24, 21. He says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Jesus said that this is going to be the worst it ever gets. But the good thing is that the Bible says that he hasn't appointed the church to wrath. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here. But some people will not. Some people are going to miss it. So let's go a little bit deeper into some of the key scriptures and look at this. Because the Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. That we should be able to rightly divide the word of God. Amen. So let's look at some of the key scriptures. And we've been reading some of them. This week I want to focus on a part that I've titled this page, "The Mystery of Iniquity." In 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, and he says some things, and we're going to break this down bit by bit. He says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." And then he says this strange verse, 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Sometimes reading the 16th, 17th century King James English hides the meaning. So we're going to go into this in much more detail. Verse 8, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now there are about 13 times in the New Testament that the Bible speaks about mystery. This is one of them. It speaks about something called the mystery of iniquity. And it's obvious that Paul had talked to the church in person when he was there. Because he says, "And now ye know what withholdeth." He had told them some things in person. And he's just reminding them of it through this letter. He tells them, "When I was with you, I told you about some things." And he's reminding them. So there's something there that is implied that they know and Paul knows, but is not fully expressed in this letter. He says, "You already know what I'm talking about, because I've told you in person. But he says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now, in the Greek, that word is mysterion, and that's where we get the word mystery from. And when it speaks about a mystery, it's speaking about something that is hidden. Something that is there, but is hidden. You're not really seeing it, though it's right there in front of you. You know, a mystery. We had a mystery at our house last night. We have a massage chair and in our bedroom. that my son Paul really, really likes. And every time he comes, he goes and sits in the chair and speaks about, do we really need this chair? Do we really want it? Because, you know, he could make some good use of it. So yesterday when we came back from the practice and I went in the bedroom, the chair was missing. It was a real mystery. And so my wife said to me, did you notice the chair is missing? Of course, I could walk in that bedroom and never know the bed was missing because I'm not very observant. I said no, so I went upstairs and the chair was missing and I looked around, couldn't find it. So I figured, okay, I know who has something to do with this mystery. But when I asked him, he said, no, he hasn't touched the chair. So that was kind of strange. And I looked, I looked everywhere in the house and could not find the chair. And then all of a sudden, it appeared. It appeared again. So we don't really know the mystery how that happened, but I think it's a very heavy chair, but it's not a small chair, so we don't know how. But you know, a mystery is something that is hidden. A mystery is something that is hidden right in front of your eyes. So I'm going to have to try and think about how that what happened there. But Paul here is talking about something that was there. He said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And there are several layers to this. I'm only going to give you one layer because there's more than one meaning to this. But he's telling them, this is all about the rapture. And he's telling them that don't worry about the rapture because it's not going to happen until this person is revealed. But the time between that person's revelation, where it is clear who this person is, and I'm speaking about the Antichrist, and the rapture may be almost no time. It may not be a matter of days or hours. It may be just a matter of seconds or minutes. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. When I was thinking how to illustrate this mystery, I put that picture up there of a sheep. Because the Bible speaks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. So whoever this person is going to look like a sheep, but really is a wolf. But the Bible speaks that the spirit of Antichrist is already here. Is already here. Anyone who denies that Christ came in the flesh, John says that's how you can identify the spirit of Antichrist. Well, we're going to look at these verses in detail. And I put some points out there. The Thessalonian church knew what was restraining. Let's go back here a little bit. It says, now we know what withholdeth. In verse 2, it uses the word withholdeth. But that word is the same word that is talking about in verse 7 when it says, who now letteth. It's the same word in the Greek. So it's really about something restraining. So what the Bible is telling us, that things would have progressed much faster to a terrible conclusion if it wasn't that someone is holding this back. And that someone, in the final analysis, is the Spirit of God. And the reason why the Spirit of God is holding it back is so that this gospel, this message, can be preached, that so that more people can hear the truth, that more people can be saved. The Thessalonian church, Paul had made it clear who this was. He doesn't say it in this text because he had already spoken to them. So the Thessalonian church knew what was restraining, and he pointed out that the mystery of iniquity was already at work. That mystery, now iniquity speaks of sin, of wickedness, of evil. He was saying that there was evil already at work, some of it hidden, that it wasn't apparent, that we couldn't see it. In, I think it was 1973, I used to be in the equivalent of the ROTC, and I was at a military base during the summer, and it was the time, most of you won't remember this because you're not old enough, but in 1973 there was a war declared between Israel and Egypt. It was called the 73 War. And at first Israel was losing, but I believe miraculously God turned it around for them. And it looked as if they might actually sweep all the way into Egypt. And their backers at that time, same backers as now, were the Russians. And they contacted, at that time, I believe it was Nixon was president. And he put all of the nuclear bases on alert. Now, that wasn't common knowledge. It wasn't in the newspapers. But because I happened to be on the base at the time, I realized how close we came to something very devastating happening. There's things going on. The reason why I'm saying there are things going on in the world right now that if we knew about it, we would be shocked. We would be really running to church every time this door is open. If we knew how close we are to that day and that hour, if we really knew how close. That at that time, he raised the nuclear alert to, like, I think, DEFCON 3 or 4, and the base was on lockdown, and we weren't allowed to go in certain places because they were actually loading the nuclear missiles. That's how close it came. That was 1973. And we don't know right now all the things that are happening. And this is what Paul was saying. It's a mystery of iniquity is already at work. And now we know what withholdeth or restrains that he might be revealed in his time. God, as I preached last week, has an appointed time. He's not going to allow certain things to happen until his timing is ready. Remember, as I said, when he came upon the man possessed of all the demons, they knew that there was an appointed time. They said, "Have you come to torment us, what? Before our time." See, Satan knows that there is an appointed time. And God is working through his plan. You know, he's working through his plan. He told his disciples after he arose, "Go and wait." That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? When you don't know how long you got to wait, that's a very hard thing to do. He didn't tell them 50 days. He just said, "Go wait." And I speculate and believe that was a lot more than 120 when he first said that. I think at the day of Pentecost, there was only 120, because the Bible in Peter tells us that he was seen alive by more than 500 people. But I can imagine that after 10 days, some of them said, "You know what? We've been waiting 10 days. I got stuff to do. I can't stay at Jerusalem all this time." And maybe 100 of them left. And then maybe after 20 days, another 100 left. Until there was only 120 left to see the power, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to encourage you. We're not given the date, but we are told that he's coming. We are told to wait. We are told more than that. We're told to wake up. We're told to watch. We're told to get ready. Israel didn't realize exactly when they would leave Egypt. They were given about 3 days warning, 3 or 4 days warning. Moses told them, "On the 10th day, I want you to go and get a lamb because something's going to happen. And then on the night, I want you to eat with all your clothes, your bags dressed, and I mean your clothes ready and you're dressed and your bag. You got to eat fully dressed because this night, there's coming a time when it will be this night, this day. And it can't happen fast enough as far as I'm concerned. I'm so selfish. When I say this, I'm only thinking about myself. Because if I start thinking about getting out of here, that's going to make me smile. Because I can think of all the things I don't want to have to deal with. Amen. But God has a perfect timing. He said, "Wait." Isn't that what the scripture says? "They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle." Whatever you're going through, just wait. I'm going off topic, but in Ecclesiastes it says there is a time and a season for everything. It won't last. Amen. So we see in 2 Thessalonians 3:17, he says, I want to contrast these two mysteries. I'm trying to see if we can pierce through and find out what the mystery is. Now, I said 13 times in the New Testament, it's Paul and in the scriptures mentioned a mystery. Paul mentions the mystery of the church. Right? That was hidden. The mystery of the church was hidden. When there's a mystery, it's because God is holding something back for a purpose. Now, I want you to look at the mystery of the incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, that means Paul is saying to Timothy, without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery, how God the Spirit could actually come down here and take on a human body. That is a mystery. I mean, we can somewhat understand it, but truly, it's hard for us to understand how God could be here and up there at the same time. What I want to contrast that mystery, that was a spiritual mystery that was a plan of God. Remember what Satan always wants to do. His plan is always to counterfeit. That's right, he's a copycat. The mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. The mystery of iniquity is what I'm trying to tell you, is that Satan is going to manifest in the flesh. Now, that's not the only application of this. There's more to it, but I told you I'd only give you one. And I'm contrasting the fact of the two mysteries. The mystery of iniquity, I believe, is that Satan is going to manifest in the flesh. And we're going to go down that path and see it. Because you see, the mystery was revealed when Jesus was incarnated. When the angel said to Mary, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be conceived of the power of the highest. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And this was such a revelation, though it had been prophesied. Amen. It had been prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, right? What does that say? Unto us, child is born. Unto us, son is given. And this little baby, this son, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's when the prophecy was given, and yet nobody could see it because it was still a mystery. Actually, the earliest prophecies in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God spoke to the woman and he said, listen, the seed of the woman is going to... when he was speaking to the serpent, said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. He thought he would try and copy that. So the mystery, part of the mystery of iniquity, is that Satan too is going to manifest in the flesh. Let's read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. In the King James it says falling away, but the essence of it is not so much a falling away, but a rebellion. A rebellion. First, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple. And so because of that scripture and some other scriptures, people have believed, well, Paul said the rapture, the catching away, cannot come until this Antichrist person is revealed, till we know who he is. And what's more, the Bible predicts that he's got to be sitting in the temple. And so a lot of people have been very comfortable to say, well, we still have a lot of time because there is no temple. But they may be looking at the wrong interpretation of that scripture. Let's look at it in a little bit more detail. It says, sitteth in the temple. And the word that is used this time is not the normal word for temple. It's the Greek word naos, the temple of God. The scripture says that you are the naos, the temple of God. So people who are looking for a physical temple may have missed the point, because remember, Jesus, the mystery of God was that he was incarnated in a man. The mystery of iniquity may turn out to be that Satan wants to copy that. He wants to sit in the temple. The Bible says, now are ye the temple of God. When we look at it and look at all the scriptures to do with either tabernacle or temple, they are used quite a few times to refer not to a literal temple, but to a body. Here's another word, skenos, which means tabernacle. And I've highlighted it. It can mean tabernacle or tent, or the second meaning, when it says metaph, it's meaning a substitute of the human body in which the soul dwells as in a tent, and which is taken down at death. Paul uses the same word to describe what we're going to get, our heavenly temple, our new bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house. And that word there is the same word naos. He is speaking about a body, which is from heaven. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5, 4, he goes on, for we that are in this tabernacle, and you know what the word there is again? It's the same word, naos. So when it says, when you see this person sitting in the naos, it doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be a physical temple. What it's talking about is the mystery of iniquity, that Satan is going to come and present himself as Christ. We use the word antichrist to say against Christ, but it is actually in place of. He is going to present himself as Christ. And the Bible says he's going to deceive a lot of people. That's why the Bible says he's going to declare himself to be God. Not only that, he's going to be empowered to do miracles. That's why it's not a good thing to just run after miracles, because they can be used to deceive. Not everybody that has a miracle necessarily means they are blessed of God or God covers them. In fact, the Bible says that that's one of his tools. He'll be able to do miracles. And many are going to be deceived. Paul says, for we that are in this tabernacle, and uses the same word, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. He's saying we don't want to be dead, but rather we want that new body, that new temple, clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The Bible speaks that this is going to be a time of great deception. And we see that all over, where nobody trusts anything anymore, right? Facebook is full of things that are absolutely not true. I used to try and correct people, but I give up. And what is the most frustrating is a lot of them are Christians who post these things, and they don't even check them. They just post them. And the Bible says, and I talked about this before, that if you don't love the truth, you're going to be sent a strong delusion. You're going to be sent a strong delusion. That's going to be the key, because people don't want to accept the truth. They're going to be accepting a lie. So deception is going to be the key hallmark of this figure, of this time. It is going to be deception. The Bible says by peace, it's going to deceive many. You know, we have this picture of Satan as an ugly looking like reptile with horns and a pitchfork. But no, the Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. The Bible says he was a pretty beautiful creature. That's why he got so stuck up in pride. He probably looked at himself and said, you know, why aren't I the top? Why aren't I the boss? Look at how beautiful I am. Look at how great I am. But this person is going to come in by deceit. He's going to say all the right things. This lesson is just not long enough for me to touch all the areas. But in Book of Revelation, it gives some symbols. And we see in the Book of Revelation, someone is trying to call me. There we go. We're going to make sure that that is off. If it's not the Lord, I'm not answering. Amen. And I don't think the Lord needs Verizon. Amen. He doesn't need Sprint or T-Mobile. When he wants to talk, he will talk. Amen. Amen. He has his ways of getting through to us. Amen. So we see that deceit and deception is going to be the hallmark. How do we guard against being deceived? How do we go? That's right. The Bible says the Spirit tries the Spirit. Amen. Because John says there are many spirits that have gone into the world. So you have to really try each spirit. Because deception is going to be the hallmark of this figure. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. When he therefore shall see, and this is where a lot of people take the wrong interpretation, when he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Why do you think God calls it an abomination? What is happening here that God says it's an abomination? It's because of what is happening. It's because of what is happening. Remember what I said is happening. Now, how did God get himself into the human world? How did he do it? He came as a baby. He did not take over someone else's body. He did not take over someone else's body. There's a difference in how Satan's going to do it, because Satan can't do it that way. After the night of the Jesus was going to be arrested, and after they had sat down at supper, Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they all looked at each other. And I think it's so powerful what T.D. Jakes said. He pointed out that all of them said, "Is it I?" There wasn't nobody that said, "No, it's him." Some of us, that's our attitude, "It's him." But they all said, "Is it I?" Because none of them were perfect. They all started to examine themselves. Could I possibly betray the master? But the point was, Jesus said, "It is to the one to whom I dip the bread in the gravy and give it to him." And when you read it, what happens then is that the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. At that point, he had no control. At that point, he was a mere shell. But he was also an abomination. Demon possession is an abomination. Your body was created to be what? The temple of the living God, not the temple of devils. So when it says here, when you see the abomination, I believe that's what it's talking about. Abomination is going to be the possession, the wholesale possession of people during the tribulation. When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And again, it's referring to a mystery, because he says, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So there's going to be deception of a human figure who is actually empowered and controlled directly by Satan. Amen. And this is, he's tried it several times in the past. Did you know that? That's why the Bible says, "He that withhold shall withhold or restrain till he be taken out of the way." Satan has tried to bring this about several times. I told you one last week. A major world religion started out a certain way. Anyone remember what I said? Could be, yes. Islam. When Muhammad first got his revelation from, he said, the angel Gabriel, he presented himself to the Jews who were living in Saudi Arabia as their Messiah. Originally, he taught his followers to pray towards Jerusalem, not Mecca. And because the Jews were already observing the Sabbath, they decided they'd have to choose a different day, so they chose the Friday as their day of prayer. But so Satan has tried before to bring forth this figure who is going to present himself as the one. But because God has an appointed time, it could not come to fruition. All of the Jews in Saudi Arabia rejected Muhammad, and of course they all got put to death. You can read the historical facts about that. He put to death a couple thousands of Jews in Saudi Arabia and banned them from being in Saudi Arabia. So we see Satan has tried this more than once to come with a world ruling figure. We can see it in Hitler. There was no doubt in my mind for the fact that who he went after principally that made really no sense other than demonically inspired were the Jews. The person who this person will be, one of the keys to understanding him will be he will be anti-Semitic. He will hate Israel. He will hate the Jews. That's one of the tests that you will see when this person is revealed. He's going to declare himself to be their Messiah. And again, when he's rejected, then the gloves will come off. Well, Brother Paul, I won't be able to get to that today. We'll have to do it on a Tuesday night, because we just... I said we could teach this lesson for 2 months. Let me see if I can. It's in Daniel 12. And it's to do with who is the one doing the restraining. Remember what I... All right, I will touch on it. I won't be able to prove it, but I'll touch on it. Remember what I said about the Antichrist. How you will know him is because he will be virulently anti-Semitic. Who is the protector of Israel? Well, Jesus, yes, but in the Old Testament, who was the protector, the main protector of Israel? Right, it's in Daniel 12. Daniel 12. The one who God has charged to protect Israel was the archangel Daniel. I'm sorry, the archangel Michael. It's in Daniel chapter 12. But if you read it, you will see, and I didn't really want to get into that this morning because it's deep. It says, at that time, did you find it's in Daniel chapter 12, I think, verse 1? What it's speaking about is that when this happens, when this Antichrist figure tries to destroy Israel, that God is going to protect them through angelic means. I don't want to go into it tonight. We'll do it on a Tuesday. That's what it's hinting at. That's what it's referring to. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken, that's also in chapter 7 and 8 of Daniel. But what it's referring to is that the prince that God has tasked, so to speak, to defend Israel will defend Israel so that a remnant will be kept. I'll go on to that on a Tuesday night. Let's go on. So this shows you that the mystery of iniquity, or part of the fulfillment of it, is in contrast to the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godlikeness is that God became man. The mystery of iniquity or sin or evil is that Satan is going to also try and duplicate that feat. 1 Corinthians 3:6, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Again, he's using the same word. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. You know who that's hinting at? Who's going to defile the temple of God? It has more than one application. It's speaking, too, about the Antichrist. Remember, Jesus said, when you see the abomination, stand in the holy place. What's the holy place? It's the temple of God. But it's not speaking a literal temple anymore. Jesus, before he was crucified, one of the things that they accused him of was, you said you were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. But he wasn't speaking about that literal temple. He was saying, destroy this temple, and I will build it again in 3 days. Because he was speaking of the resurrection. That no matter if they killed him, in 3 days he was going to get back up again. So this is what this is speaking. Knowing not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple, that would be to allow another spirit in there, him shall God destroy. Because for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's why I believe God calls it an abomination. Here's the scripture in Luke 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. And there's a whole Bible study in that. Ish is the Hebrew word for man or mortal man. And Kariot is a city or a place in the land of Moab. And there's a whole deep thing in that. Being of the number of the 12. Remember when Jesus said, have not I chosen all of you? But one of you is a devil. Now, we've taught so many times about the mark of the beast, and I've taught about that, what that is. And again, Those of you who have been on Tuesday nights know that, I believe that is referring to possession. Possession. Because the man who had the thousands of demons when Jesus came, Jesus asked him a strange question. What is your name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. We are many. He was telling the number of his name. He was telling the number of his name because a legion was 6,000. And then it was broken down by 10 into cohorts of 600. And that was broken down into centuries, where you get the word centurion from, of hundreds. So you have 6,606. He was identifying the mark of possession. And that is why I said the tribulation was going to be the worst time in human history. The reason why is there going to be possession on a scale not seen since the creation of man. God stopped it the first time with the flood by destroying everybody that was taken over, if you want to put it that way. But this time the Bible says that there is going to be possession on a scale not seen. And that is the reason why the tribulation is going to be so terrible. Here are some of the cryptic names, the mystery names of the Antichrist. He's called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the lawless one, the enemy in Lamentations. These are only a few. I have only put a few. The Bible has been giving hints as to who he is. Here's one, the Assyrian, the head of many nations, the wicked shepherd. These are all titles you can find in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. So who is he? Who is he? Here's what Jesus said. I am come in my Father's name, and he received me not. If another, and I put the Greek word allos, shall come in his own name, him he will receive. Don't know if you, any of you did biology, or in biology they talk about the alleles. That's the gene type that determine, that are passed down from parents. And this is where we get that word from, the Greek word, which really means of the same genus or type, kind. So what it's hinting at is that this person is going to come as a son of God. He's going to come and say that's who he is. That's what it's saying. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive, because he's going to deceive people. He's going to come as a son of God. He's going to present himself. He's going to be able to do miracles. He's going to be able to do miracles. The Bible speaks that he is going to recover from a deadly wound, and it speaks about the beast that comes up from the earth. Let's read that. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Meaning he's going to portray himself like he's the lamb. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So now, what is this speaking about? I really won't be able to finish this tonight. I'm gonna go into it on a Tuesday night, and we'll get into all the details of this. But what it is speaking about is that this person is not around, or was not around when this verse was written. Remember, in the book of Revelation, John is told that the beast was, is not, but shall be again. At the time John was given the revelation, he was told, he was given this cryptic mystery. It says the beast was. Right now when you're writing this, John, he is not, but is going to come again. What is the key to Christianity? What is the key event that makes, that really sealed and proved who Jesus was? Resurrection. resurrection from the dead. So of course, Satan too is going to have to do something like that. Do you see what it says? I beheld another beast coming out of where? Coming up out of the earth. That's a symbol of resurrection. So what John was told, and I know I'm getting kind of deep here, he was told the beast was not around when he was writing, so now he's, let's say, dead, but's going to come back again. Who does that fit? I didn't put it in here, but if someone could turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I believe it's verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, they're choosing a replacement for Judas. They're choosing a replacement for Judas because they know there should be 12. And they got to appoint someone to be a replacement for Judas. Anyone found Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Maybe I'll have to find it and read it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll do it then. Keep reading. Okay, I'm going to jump down. I'm going to read. I found what I wanted. So this is Jesus on his last ascension, and we preached about that, that was Bethany. Verse 24, Jesus is gone, and now they're deciding to replace Judas. And this is what they say. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." They pick two people, and they're going to throw lots, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, and here's the interesting part, that he might go to his own place. Judas has got his own place. Judas has got his own place. Remember now, he had been personally possessed by Satan. At the time John was writing, he wasn't around. He said, "The beast that was not, but shall be." Now, I'm not saying Judas himself is coming back, but in type or in symbology, the beast from the earth symbolizes a copycat resurrection. Because the thing that sealed or really cemented who Jesus was is that they could say, "We have seen him. He is not dead, but he is alive. He is risen." See, so far, Satan has been prevented from duplicating that feat. Muhammad was never dead and came back to life. Hitler was never dead and came back to life. Confucius, they're all dead. Judas is dead, but someone is going to try and duplicate that feat. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had horns like a lamb. We're not going to finish this today. We're going to continue this. I'm going to try and go back in detail. But I wanted to end on a good note, if you could stand with me. I have so many favorite scriptures, but this is certainly one of them. And there was war in heaven. Here it comes again, Michael. Remember it said that it made reference to Daniel 12? Okay, because he's been protecting Israel. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angel. See, I've read the back of the book and I know how this story ends. I know how the story ends. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth. They're going to believe. This is the sad part. This is the sad part. Billions of people are going to believe. Billions of people are actually going to believe that this figure is Christ. who deceiveth the whole world. They're going to believe that they're going to be filled with the Spirit. But actually what they're going to receive is demonic possession. They're going to have the mark of the beast. Remember the beast that comes up from the earth? Was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10 is the verse. And I heard a loud voice. I really believe this is the rapture, verse 10. Now is come salvation. Say it with me. Now has come salvation. There will be a day, there will be a time, there will be a moment when you can say, now has come salvation. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Because when he is thrown out, I really believe we go up. When he is banned, when he is defeated, when he's finally put in, thrown to the earth, that's when we go up. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. You know, his point is to bring us into condemnation. But Romans 8 says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are the called. Hallelujah. Amen. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. This is to you now. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. It's going to take some effort. It says, they love not their lives unto the death. We talked earlier that we have the freedom right now to come in here, but there may be a day coming when we can't, where they will say, only if you will not say certain hateful things. You know, you're making hate speech. You're preaching against homosexuality. You're preaching against abortion. That's hate speech. You can't say that. Then I'll have a choice. I'll have to make a choice. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice. Rejoice, ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, and I've told you how that works. It's like when the eviction notice has been served, you know what the people do when they're mad? They tear up the house. That's what Satan's going to do. He will know he only has about 3.5 years, and he's going to try and tear up the house. But you know what? When Jesus finally comes back to the earth, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. We just looked at this in a very high level. But one thing I want you to take away from this, he is coming. There is a time coming upon this earth, which the Bible calls a time of trouble, such as never was. If you are not sealed with the Holy Spirit, it means your temple is open. Your temple is ready for something else to come and take possession. And that is what is going to happen during the tribulation. Absolutely, that's what's going to happen. The Bible said, and I saw a star fall from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened, and out of it came all kinds of stuff. And they had the power to hurt men. You know, it's speaking about demonic possession on a scale not seen since the creation of this earth. Because most of the demons are locked up, but they're all going to be released. They're all going to be released. And the Bible says, unless you are sealed with the Spirit, your temple is open. I encourage you today to seek God. Make sure that your spirit is from God and that it has sealed your temple. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Even as we see the day approach, help us, O God, to seek your face, to humbly repent and ask for your grace and mercy. Continue to let your Holy Spirit overflow in our souls. Those who are seeking that gift, Lord, fill them, I pray. Your mercy and grace is what has delayed this, which is withholding until he be moved out the way. Lord, help us, oh God, to spread the word, to be your feet, to be your mouthpiece. We thank you today for your grace and your mercy and your greatness and your love. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering.